Welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, episode 41, and today we have Assimilator. And, yeah, it's just me. Unfortunately, life has gotten in the way of Zelda Queen and Proteus joining me today, and as you can tell, I'm a little late doing this, so I apologize about that. But I do have a podcast for you today. We're going to go ahead and start it off with talking about a few games I've played. This is kind of going to be an iPod Touch-centric one, because that's where most of my games playing has been as of late, mainly because of a lack of free time. But I'll get to that later, because I actually did play Ghostbusters for the PlayStation 3, finally. If you're a fan of Ghostbusters, you will thoroughly enjoy this game. I thoroughly liked it. You kind of start off playing as the Stoic Rookie. Stoic's not really a word. Silentless, because he does convey the facial emotions. He conveys many facial emotions throughout the game, such as, you know, like abject fear of being the fact that he is the test pilot for all the nice, dangerous equipment that could potentially explode. Fun. But doing that means you also get some of the cool stuff. You get the Slimer gun, you get the Bosen dart, which, if you're not careful and you shoot that at close range, it really hurts until you get the upgrade to not make it hurt. But it's a fun game. I don't think I ever crossed the streams myself, but sometimes it's kind of hard to control what you're doing. I did kind of have issues aiming at times, but overall it wasn't too bad. It does take you back to a familiar location, being the hotel. In fact, you end up going back to the hotel from the first movie twice throughout the game. I'm not going to tell you why, because I'm not big into spoilers, which also sometimes makes it really hard to explain stuff. But the long story short of the game is the big baddie from the first movie, Gozer, his cult kind of starts making a reappearance, and that starts causing a lot of troubles for New York. You also have everybody's favorite jackass trying to shut down the Ghostbusters again. And, of course, the nice little love interest for Venkman? Yeah, Venkman. To take an interest in and always, you know, show up at just the right time to take all the credit. But good game, highly recommended. Kind of short though. I did finish it relatively quickly, but it's definitely worth playing. Let's see. If I had to give it a score out of 10, I'd say probably I don't want to do out of 10. I'm gonna do out of 5. I'm gonna say I'd give it a 4. There is room for improvement. As I said, I did have some issues moving at times, but for the most part, I did really enjoy it. Okay, other stuff. As far as iPhone games, one game that's kind of taken up a lot of my time and attention is one that's been on the top seller list on the iPod chart, so it's no doubt that it's no wonder that it's an enjoyed game called Angry Birds. And at its most basic level, Angry Birds is a physics game where you have to fling objects at other objects to destroy them. In this case, though, you're flinging little birds, some of which have different abilities, at pigs, which stole your eggs. And your point is to try and get all your eggs back. Fun little game, yes. Let's see, how many levels did this thing have? Because it has 4 different worlds. With, let's see, 21. Let's just say it has a decent amount of games, decent amount of levels, each one getting significantly harder than the last. Unfortunately, it looks like the last 2 levels, the last 30 levels have not been released yet, so they are still coming out with some stuff for it, and then they have little secret stuffs in the form of these golden egg things. The eggs icons kind of show how to get them. Like, there's some that have 3 stars, which probably means you have to get 3 stars on all these certain levels in order to get them. Then there's a question mark, a little eye, which I'm assuming is an info egg, and one that I'm going to assume is in a chest. I think I know where the chest is, I just don't know how to get to it. But it's a fun game. I really enjoyed it. I think it's like 99 cents on the Apple Store, so it's one of those great cheap games that you can get for nearly nothing. What else do we have? Looks like we also have. I know Zelda Queen's touched on this game before, but Plants vs. Zombies. I've never played the computer edition, just played my iPod Touch edition, and it is still rather enjoyable. Now, it doesn't have as many things on it, so when you're on the iStore, you're going to see it ranked down severely. I think it's. Let me look up the score real quick, but these people just really don't like it because it doesn't have as many features as the full-fledged version of it on the PC does. On the other hand, it's also a lot cheaper. Let's see. Back to what I was mentioning before, Angry Birds is 99 cents on the App Store, and Plants vs. Zombies is $2.99 versus I believe it's $10 or so on the regular computer, on a regular system, on a Steam. So, in all reality, it's cheaper. So, why people are up in arms because it has a little less? It's not that bad. Oh, looks like I was wrong. It's actually showing 4.5 stars now on the Apple Store. So it's actually fairly decent now. Really fun game, definitely something to be enjoyed. If you don't already have it on the PC and you have an iPod or an iPhone, you might as well pick it up because it's worth your time and money to get it. Let's see. Now, something that I thought was rather interesting news-wise is the Supreme Court is actually going to start listening to some gripes about video game violence. Let's see, and I think the story I saw said that this was going to be listened to in November? Yeah, late this year or early 2001. And it's whether or not minors have the right to buy violent video games in a case that tests whether computer software is guaranteed the same free speech protection as books, newspapers, and magazines. I guess being 27, I really don't have much say in this, but I've always kind of thought that this sort of thing was left. Let the parents decide kind of how this stuff's going to work, who's going to have control of what. I don't know. Seems like video games always get the short stick in this stuff, though, so I really don't know. But moot point. Let's see what else. Yeah, since it's just me, this is unfortunately going to be kind of a short show like it typically can be when it's just me solo, but I'm also going to kind of do an anime review. The anime that I'm going to be talking about is Sora no Otoshimono. This anime is about a guy that just wants his life to be left simple, alone, peaceful, quiet. He doesn't want any problems, but he keeps having this recurring dream of this angel. Well, about the same time, people start noticing this strange vortex thing around the moving around the world, and all of a sudden it just stops over this kid's town. Yes, we all saw this coming from like a mile away, didn't we? But and out of it comes this angel. Now, this is a different angel than the one he's been dreaming about, and it refers to itself as a pet class angeloid and consider and adopts him as its master. This is kind of a harem anime. The guy is openly perverted. He doesn't hide any qualms about that. And it is kind of fan servicey at times. The android, I forget what she calls herself, but I'm just going to call her A1 for sakes of the review. Her default outfit just shows a lot of cleavage to it. But they keep her actually in normal clothes for the most part, which when she's in normal clothes, her chest size magically goes to a size of a normal woman. It's rather nice. Although it seems to kind of defy the laws of physics, it's nice to kind of see them draw her with regular proportions. Nobody seems to really ask about the wings for the most part, at least the people that don't realize that she's an angeloid. But it has some really good art overall. one thing that really annoys me about these series is that they overuse the chibi aspect of it. The main male character spends more time as a chibi, it seems, than he does in his regular drawing form, which I think kind of distracts from it. There are times where they seem like they're trying to do a really serious anime with some serious plot development, and then they do this chibi thing, which chibi has its place every so often, just kind of little silly moments you want to do, but he doesn't need to do it all the time. That's too much chibi, in my opinion. You do have some interesting character development, though. A second angel really does eventually make an appearance, but she's kind of there with. She's not there to be friendly. She's there to try and take back the first Angelroid, and I'm not going to spoil why that is or why they want to take it back or anything like that. But it's rather interesting overall so far. But I don't know. I'm all but three episodes in. I'll probably finish the last three. But I don't think it's something I'd go out of my way to get again. Well, I didn't go out of my way to get it in the first place. I just kind of stumbled on it. But it's an interesting anime, I'm going to put it that way. I'd probably, out of a 5-point scale, give it a, I don't know, probably just a 2.5, maybe. It's not really that impressive. Maybe something just to kind of pass time if you don't have much else to do. Let's see, what else is going on in the world of video games? I know we have the PlayStation Move getting ready to release itself. Yeah, it looks like a PlayStation Move is supposed to come out September 19th. So it's just a few weeks away at this point. I'm not sure what to think about it. I'm probably going to wait to see what more games come out with it before I even bother to look at buying it myself. It kind of seems like, though, it has a bit more promise to it than possibly the Kinect system does, just because while it's a nice idea of getting rid of a controller, I like having something tactile in my hand. Most of the time when I play video games, I'm actually sitting and want to be lazy and don't want to have to do a bunch of stuff. But if they're going to deal with the motion controls and they're going to introduce them anyways, I think so far, based on what we've seen from demos, the Move has more available to it. We'll see more happen with it, just if you're even doing medieval games, sword and shield type thing. Also, the fact that you have the nav, it'll allow you to move around. I'm still not sure completely how movement's going to work with Kinect, except for maybe, it's going to map certain foot movements to certain directions that you do, in which case that could kind of detract from the overall experience of it's doing what you're moving. But hey, it could be rather interesting. Looks like there's going to be some games that are Move specific that'll come out for it, and there are some current titles which, once patched, such as Heavy Rain, it will also be Move compatible. I'm just kind of interested to see how it's all going to do together, so I'm looking forward to see whether or not this actually works out for Sony or not. And with that, I am actually kind of out of stuff to talk about. As I said, this is kind of going to be a short thing. I unfortunately don't have the funds to travel to PAX, so I can't really do much on that. And as I said, as Zelda Queen and Proteus are not here to banter with and kind of keep me on subject or keep me talking. So, if you have any questions, comments, or anything at all, feel free to send us some email to mail@thegameslave.com. You can also visit us at thegameslave.com, check out our site, or go to spreadshirt.thegameslave.com to check out the t-shirts that we have available, made with wonderful designs by the glorious Zelda Queen, who will hopefully have some more art for us soon. Beyond that is all I have for today. So, game on!